You packed your bags and shut the door. You crossed the sea to fight a war. You didn't know just what would happen to you. Stepped in the dirt, boots on the ground, and gunfire was the only sound. And to yourself you whispered hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Every day and every night you walk the walk, you fight the fight.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
We are. We're all wet now after all of that, but we're here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 29th of May. And I told y'all I had a big show planned for Monday, and I forgot all about it being Memorial Day. So I spent my time memorializing things, spending more time on veteran stuff and whatnot. So I told you that I had a show planned, and I'm going to do it this coming Monday. I'm going to do another two-hour show. I'm going to take Amy's spot, and she might even help me with it. I don't know, but I can't. Part of it you've heard before. Some of it is going to be brand new and something that I have never done before. It does have to do with preparedness, and I told you before that it was the single most important thing in your preparedness toolbox. And we're going to spend the first 45 minutes or an hour, however long it takes, working on that. So before we get carried away, let me dash over here to the, okay, Tebow, that's what I was dashing for, 5x5, that's what I wanted to know. Okay, now then, since I was not totally prepared, let me get that way. I was messing around here and forgot what I was supposed to be doing. But I can remedy that here real quick. And we're waiting. We had, I didn't get much feedback Monday night for Memorial Day. I don't know if you guys did anything or anything local going on or anything like that. I didn't hear much out of you. So, like I said, we had an absolute blast going around to these cemeteries and into these different shows and, I mean, events and stuff. So. All right, I've got the thing running now. Sorry it took so long. Got a little bit of gun-related stuff tonight to go along with everything else. And let's see, I will have to play that for you. We'll have to bounce over to our other format briefly. Oh, yeah, this is all coming together nicely here. All right. Quite a bit of gun stuff here. Sorry it's taking so long. I wasn't prepared. I was, well, I don't know what I was doing. I didn't have any excuse. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. It's simple as that. But I think we're going to get it all ironed out here. Got one old story, a very short story, but it's, okay, that's where we left off. Okay, starting in no particular order here. This is the old story I was talking about, and I may have talked about this back when it came out, but I don't remember it. It's 3 years old, but I thought it was kind of funny anyway. There's a Russian zoo that took quite an offensive jab at Obama, and they named its new black goat, what do you think, Obama? Yeah, he's brand new. He's from a farm in I don't know how you pronounce this, Sochi, I guess, and in a what they called a failed attempt at humor, park officials claim they tried to bring the animal to visit President Putin, but the leader supposedly refused because he holds no meetings with goats. Okay, well,
There you have it. Short story. I just thought it was funny that they named you after Obama. You know how this, oh, here we go again with this stupid thing. I have got to quit this. The gun control deal is working so well in Japan that they have set a model here for the rest of the world concerning gun control. If I can get this. Well, there we go. All right. This just happened. Brand new story, day before yesterday. Japan knife attack kills two and wounded, what they say, 17. Now, if you remember back in, oh, when was it? Probably injured 16 at a bus stop. This was, when did they have that shooting at that school in Santa Barbara, California? But on the same day, within literally minutes, it's almost like it was coordinated that way. Maybe hours, but it was same day. And, when they had the shooting at the school in Santa Barbara, there was also a mass knifing in Japan. No, China. It was in China. And there were something like 30-something people killed with knives in China. So that just goes to show everyone just how wonderfully that well-instituted gun laws, anti-gun laws, will save lives. That's how well it works. And we're happy to report that. We're not happy to report that because people got hurt. We're happy to report it because gun control has just worked so well. We're just greatly impressed at the fact that this has saved so many lives. And I've got my facetious face on, if you can't tell. All right, onward and upward. I better go check my chat room here and make sure that we still have anybody listening. Okay, good deal. Who do we have? Boy, it's slim pickings tonight. Looks like I'd be getting used to it by now. But that's okay. The podcast will do well tonight. All right, back over here to where we were at, if I can find out where we're at. Now, this one, this hasn't opened up yet for some reason, but in Texas, they just passed a bill that, and it's odd to me that they have to do this. The bill says that during or immediately in the immediate aftermath of a disaster, this would have... probably could have helped some people during Katrina. Well, Katrina went in Texas, but they did move a lot of people to Texas after Katrina, or any of the big tornadoes and hurricanes and all the stuff that happens down there. Any type of a disaster, you will be granted constitutional carry for 1 week following the disaster. What they're trying to say is that you don't have to abandon your guns. You don't have to turn them in. You don't have to, they're just allowing you to be able to have your guns with you and not leave them. You don't have to return to your home to get them or leave them in your home to be ransacked by looters and stuff. So they're kind of placing your firearms, in a particularly handguns, in a category similar to jewelry and money and other things, where you want to take some of that stuff with you. So they're allowing you to carry the guns in a bag or whatever, concealed without a permit, for 1 week until you kind of get things together a little bit and find a safe place to stay or be able to go back home or whatever the case may be. So not an earth-shaking deal, but it's a good gesture. I think it's it's odd that someone would come up with an idea like this. I've never even thought of it. So that was kind of a good deal then. Now, everybody surely has heard by now, all you Shirleys out there, that there is a company in Texas, in or near or around El Paso, that has started construction on a section of border wall, and it's all privately funded. It's called We Build the Wall. This is the organization. And it's trying to, this is pretty neat. It's a pretty neat deal. It's all going to be on private land, private company, da-da-da-da-da. Government has no say-so about it. If I want to build a wall on my property 30 foot tall and keep the undesirables out, that's my business. So this place is very, very heavily trafficked area for illegals. So they say, I still can't wrap my mind around why we can't do something about this. They say that 930 people are apprehended there every day. Per day. 930 people. Each day. That is appalling to me. That we have to depend on a private company and private funds to seal off this heavily trafficked area here, so they don't have to catch 1,000 people a day. Now, will they just go to the end of the wall and go around? Well, maybe so. But it does funnel them to a new area. And kind of, you know, it's going to be however, I don't know how long this area is. But let's see if it says here somewhere. But however, 46 miles, it says. No, that's not what it says. It blocked construction of two border walls. Okay, that was Trump's wall there. All right, so it doesn't say how long this is. It may only be 30 feet, I don't know. But it says that, says they'll keep building as long as people keep chipping in. It says the average contribution has only been $67. But so many people have chipped in. It says the average contribution. That means some people might have donated, $1 million, and other people have donated 15 cents. So, and, we don't know what the high and low is, but the average is $67. This guy's is involved with the organization, served as a immigration advisor to President Trump during the 2016 campaign. So being built on private land, now this, the funny part about this, the Army Corps of Engineers said that this is too rugged for fence. We can't build a fence here. It's too rugged. Now I'll tell you, I've been down there in that part of the country, and there's damn sure some rugged country. But there's not any place that is so rugged that determined people can't put a barrier of some kind up there. It just, there's no such thing as being that rugged. It may be slow and time-consuming and expensive, but is slow and time-consuming the same thing? That may be. So it may be slow and expensive, but undoubtedly it can be done. It's the first time any private organization has taken on such a task there. This is all happening, of course, when Trump is... Now, everybody says, well, Trump hasn't done anything. He hasn't said what he was going to do. He hadn't done what he said he was going to do. Well, he hasn't been able to. Now we've got a judge blocking him. First, they wouldn't give him the money, for the longest time. And now a judge has blocked two areas, kept him from building. One of them is 46 miles long in New Mexico, and the other 5 miles in Arizona. And making the President of the United States have to appeal these rulings. Now, they shouldn't even call them rulings because they can't rule. They can't legislate from the bench. You can say they can say what is what's constitutional, what's legal, what's, they can find in favor or not of something. But It's my understanding that we can't just get up on the podium here and say, I hereby decree that you ain't going to do this. So President Trump is not happy about that. So let's see. And he has declared this border situation a national emergency. He did that back in February. So this was after the shutdown. Trying to help find some money for all that. Didn't work. So, all right, let's see here. Let's move. I may play this after the break. Matter of fact, right after the break, we might just come right into that. That'd be the thing to do. No, it wouldn't. The thing to do would be to play this and go into the break. How about we do that? How long is this? All right, it's almost 7 minutes long. It's almost 7 minutes till the break. How about we do that? I think that is an awesome idea, just because it was my idea. That's just how my ideas work. So I think what I'm going to do, you guys will have to stand by just a minute. I'll have a couple of seconds to about 10 seconds of dead air as normal, like we do on Liberty Lounge. And I'm going to come back and play this for you. And then we'll go into a break after that, and then I'll come back. So stand by.
Here to tell Sergeant Lambert's story is this year's Academy Awarded nominated actor, Sam Elliott.
We were headed to Omaha Beach, and I was glad. After all the fighting in Africa and Sicily, I just wanted to get this war over with. It was daylight on the 6th. I went up on deck and found my brother Bill there. We talked about our chances and what our parents would think. About 6 a.m., the signal came to go to stations. My brother and I promised whoever survived would take care of the other's family. And we shook hands and went our separate ways. I climbed down the nets and got into the Higgins boat with my unit. On the way in, we could hear the battleships firing and see the big shells landing ahead of us. Guys were getting sick and vomiting from the choppy water and the diesel fume. As we got in closer, the Germans had a bird's eye view of us coming in. We picked up machine gun fire. The bullets clanged against the metal ramp of the boat like hail. Then the big 88s on the hill opened up. Every time a shell whistled overhead, all you could hear was the sound of a banshee screaming. Boats around us were burning. I saw men on fire. Even their shoes were on fire. Dead and wounded were floating in the water. We had orders not to stop and pick anyone up. I told my men, when the ramp drops, hit the water hard and keep as low as you can to dodge the bullets. We sank up over our heads. That was the last time I saw most of them. 31 men jumped off that boat. Just 7 of them made it to the beach. The only cover was a block of concrete the Germans had failed to clear. That's where I set up a collection point for the casualties. Medics were trained not to dig in. We were there to see the troops and for them to see us. I detailed Corporal Raymond Lepore to hunker down and treat the men while I brought in the injured. Ray and I had been together since 39. I knew I could count on him. It was total confusion. Shells exploding. Boats blowing up. People yelling because he couldn't hear anything. Machine gun bullets hitting the water all around you. The roar of the boats coming in. It's like you're all alone in a world of a million people because you're concentrating on what you have to do. Hadn't gone far when I felt a bullet go through my right arm. I just kept going. I was thinking of only one thing, getting to the men who needed me. There was a soldier laying right on the edge of the water. One arm was almost shot off. Every time a wave would come in, that arm will be pulled back out to sea, and he'd try to reach out for it. The first thing you're supposed to do is keep a wounded man from going into shock. But he was too far gone. Nothing I could do for him. He died in my arms. I was on my way to treat another soldier when a piece of shrapnel the size of my hand tore a hole in my left thigh. I put a tourniquet on it, gave myself a shot of morphine, and went back to work. You did the job you were trained to do. If you didn't, you died. I could feel my right arm going numb from the first bullet. Saw a guy struggling in chest-deep water. Grabbed him with my good arm just as a Higgins boat rolled in and dropped its ramp. The ramp hit me right in the back, crushed two vertebrae, and pushed us both to the bottom. That's when I started talking to the one guy I knew could help me. I said, God, I've asked you many times, but just give me another chance. Let me save one more person. And for some reason, that boat raised its ramp and backed out. Somehow I managed to drag his boat to safety. I told Corporal Lepore he'd have to take my place. He stood up, and then he just collapsed against my shoulder. His helmet fell off, and I saw the hole right in the center. Everything went black after that. The next thing I knew, I was on a boat going back to England. A Navy doctor looked at my dog tags and he told me, we have another Lambert here. My brother's Bill's stretcher was put right next to mine on the dock at Weymouth. He'd been on the beach with G Company. We went to the hospital in the same ambulance. When I woke up, he was on the cot next to me. He looked over and said, what are you doing here? Same thing you are, I told him. And he said, oh God, now what's mother going to think? We both made it out okay. Bill lived to be 92. People who have never been in a war should understand what soldiers give up. The guys we left on Omaha Beach never had a chance to live the lives they've dreamed of. Day hasn't gone by when I haven't prayed for the men we lost and their families. I still wake up at night sometimes thinking about the guys. Every man that walked into those machine guns and that artillery fire on Omaha Beach that day, every man was a hero. What kind of person would I be if I didn't tell their stories? Such an honor. Such an honor, sir. Tell your story. God bless you.
I'll be back.
I saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. She took out a pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these.
She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time, you see. Moments to recall. So Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall?
She said he really missed the family, being home on Christmas. Christmas Day. And he died for God and country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me.
She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall. But Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall? Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name?
Has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country. Yeah, we can.
Okay, we're back. That was, if you hadn't noticed there, that was Sam Elliott narrating that story. Well, it's narrating is the right word. But anyway, it was telling the story of the actual guy, the Ray Lambert. And Ray Lambert was in the audience listening, had a hard time getting up, but when it was over with, and if you watch the video, Sam Elliott walks off the stage and walks over there and shakes his hand and says, God bless you, and all that. It was very good. The whole scene was just awesome. But this last deal here, while we were going through the break, Amy brought a story, a video in here to watch, and there was another guy, and you guys, some of you may have seen this. I'd never seen it. He was 96 years old, World War II veteran, at a ball game of some kind. I don't know if it was a Super Bowl or I don't know what it was, but it was a, huh? Oh, she said it was a women's soccer game. It must have been a pretty important game, because there was, one of those flags that's, whatever, 200 feet long or whatever it is, 150 feet long. It's got 100 people around holding it up, and lots and lots and oodles and gobs of people there. But this veteran, this World War II veteran, out in the middle of the field all by himself there, played the Star Spangled Banner on the harmonica. And very, very touching. Yeah. I'd be tickled to death if I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb on a harmonica when I'm 96 years old. He did a great job. Pretty good shape for the shape he's in. All right, let me find my other screen here. I went the wrong way. There we go. All right, let's... some of you have kept up with Jerry Michalak from time to time when he's done some of the things. Jerry Michalak is the guy that shoots for Smith & Wesson, or used to. I don't know if he still does or not, but He has set a lot of records. He's a freak. He's a freak of nature. He does things that are so far out of reach of the normal shooter that it's not even, it's like putting a turtle in a race with a Maserati or something. You know, he's just so far out there from everybody else. He's the one that, I know a lot of you have seen the video where he shot 6 shots out of a revolver. He shot 6 shots, reloaded, and shot 6 more shots on target in 2.99 seconds. Now, I tell you, there's a great number of shooters out there, a vast number of shooters out there that can't even reload the revolver in 2.99 seconds, much less shoot 12 rounds on target and reload in 2.99 seconds. He's the one that hit a steel plate at 1,000 yards with I believe it was a 9mm revolver. Now, we don't know how many cases of shells he shot before he made that one shot, but nevertheless, he did it. Lots and lots of videos on there by Jerry Michalak. If you want to look him up, it's Jerry. You can figure out how to spell Jerry, I'm sure. Michalak is Miculek. And he's a lot of fun to watch if you like watching Freaks of Nature. But anyway, he had a record with a revolver of shooting... shot 5 shots out of a revolver in 1.14 seconds. 1.14 seconds is not a long time. So this was from the time, this wasn't a, you know, draw the weapon, raise the weapon up on target. It was from the time of the sound of the first shot until the end of the 5th shot. And 1.14 seconds. It was this other guy from an outfit in Kentucky called Kentucky Ballistics decided he wanted to take this on a little bit. Now, there's a little bit of a twist to this. Number one, he went to Louisiana to Jerry's own range there. And Jerry actually showed up there, of course it was his range, to help coach him through this. Now, the twist here is that this guy was shooting a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum, a performance center revolver with a 3.5-inch barrel, and he set up targets at 7 yards away. And his goal here was to outshoot the world record, but you have to land all 5 shots on the target in less than 1.14 seconds. So, and that's what, it doesn't matter where on the target, as long as you can find a hole somewhere, that's, it's on target. So, they set out to do it, they shot several times, I don't know how many times they did it in real life, but they videoed, he tried it, obviously he'd been doing this for a while, of course he had, or he wouldn't have been up there trying to do it on film, on video. Can't say on film anymore. Nobody has film. I don't even make film anymore, I don't think. But anyway, he did it. I think his last time, I believe, I watched the video, and it doesn't say it in the story, but I think he did it in 1.08 seconds, I believe. 5 shots with a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum in 1.08 seconds on target at 7 yards. If you don't think that's a feat, let me tell you, that's a feat. You can, a lot of people would have a hard time, a very difficult time even doing that with a 22, much less 500. And in order to do this, this is not something that you're just going to go out and pick up a revolver and match or beat. You've got to have a good trigger on that revolver. It's got to be nice and smooth, and And you've got to have a very quick trigger finger. I mean, set your stopwatch on your phone or something, or a timer, and see how long 1.14 seconds. See if you can even go through that in your mind in 1.14 or 1.08 seconds. Even thinking about it that fast, see if you can do it. So that's, let me go over here to the chat room, see if we got anybody left here. Oh, yeah. Okay. But why do I keep bouncing off the wrong screen here? Jeez. Okay, there we go. I guess that's all that story. You'd have to watch the video. But if you want to look it up, just look up Kentucky Ballistics. Takes on, oh, here we go. Looks like the title is New 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum World Record, is what it says on the video. Or look up Kentucky Ballistics and Jerry Michalak. And M-I-C-U-L-E-K. It's pronounced Michalak. You got to go watch his videos. Quite the man. All right, on we go here. You'll have to go back. Let me go back to Jerry Michalak a little bit. Go and watch his video where he shot that. And this was done, the History Channel filmed that. And he had a big crowd out there, a lot of people. And he set two or three records that day. And he did, I think it was eight shots on target in, I don't remember what it was, 1 point something. But the big one was six shots, reload, six more shots on target, 2.99 seconds with the revolver. That's scooting right along. Okay. New York. California, both of them getting a little aggressive here as the residents there are trying to get out. They're trying, you know, that thing that I read to you on Monday, that hit the nail on the head. Man, if that didn't open these people's eyes and realize just how bad California has gotten, it's astonishing to me. It's absolutely mind-boggling how people continue to try to stay there. I know that there's, we talked about this. I know that there's a few that have, elderly parents that can't move, can't leave, won't leave, 18, 19 years on a job and they're not going to walk off, with just a couple of years to go and lose their retirement. Okay. I'm reluctantly will accept that. But there is a whole lot of people in that, whole bunch of people in that state, oodles and gobs of people that ain't got nothing holding them down but gas money. Put it in a truck and drive away. That's all you got to do. So New York's right along there with them. As says, there's more and more people leaving both of these states and others, but these two primarily, most predominantly. And these state and local governments say they're not making this process any easier than they have to. Says the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act introduced a number of reforms, including a $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions. Which have caused Americans into looking at establishing legal primary residences in a state where they can limit their liabilities. So, since some states give taxpayers a hard time when they're trying to change their domicile, thereby establishing their permanent residency elsewhere. California, they don't particularly like when people that are large taxpayers leave. Well, that's what happened in Colorado. It wasn't because of taxes, but that's when you know that Colorado felt when, who was it, Magpul, wasn't it, that left Colorado? And probably, I don't know, four or five, six other gun-related companies, and some that weren't gun-related, but most of them were after the companies pulled out of there and left all their, took all their tax money with them. There was also a lot of people said they're not coming to Colorado because of their laws and it boycotted. And remember that a bunch of the big game outfitters took a terrible hit. Guys had hunts booked and everything. They said, no, hell no, I'm not going. This ain't going. So, of course, the outfitters lost money, unfortunately, but that's a casualty of war. It's just one of those things. And so all of that lodging and fuel and eating out and souvenirs and all that stuff that the state missed out on and all the tax money that went along with that and all the businesses, too. So slowly from that time till now, people are very, very slowly getting it. They're catching on. They're starting to fight back a little bit. Not as much as I would like to see, but they're fighting back. Some with their money, some with the, you know, in other ways. But it's refreshing to see what some of these people are doing now. So thank you, Yakima Glock. I thought it was Magpul. Didn't remember. It's been a long time. So anyway, let's move on here. Let's see where. No, that's the wrong screen. I need to quit doing this. There we go. This, you know, speaking of fighting back, I love this story. I love this story a lot. Here is, now remember the other day I read the story Monday. I read the story about the professor that said, you know, if any of this offends you, don't take this class. Don't sign it. Stop now. Don't sign the paper. Don't even come in. If this free speech offends you, if you're offended, disgusted, annoyed by anything that might be said here, stop now. Go take another class. I love that professor. Well, here's a little town in Texas that's kind of done the same thing. One of the things that's irked me till I can't stand it, cannot see straight, irks me to death, is the fact that there are so many instances here where there's been some little something or another, because whether it be a plaque with the Ten Commandments on it or a statue of some kind or, you know, a cross somewhere or something on public land, blah, blah, blah. And these idiots from wherever they're from, whatever, Wisconsin maybe, the Freedom from Religion group, not Freedom of Religion, Freedom from Religion, have to come and cause this big stink and protest and try to sue. And every stinking time. Okay, well, here's 19 people that are offended. So we don't care what the other 69,000 of you think in this town. These people are offended. Why doesn't it matter when I'm offended? If that figure is true, if there's 86% of the people in this country are Christians opposed to 14% that are atheist or whatever that is, something along those lines, why does that 14% always win? Well, in this little Texas town here called Cold Spring, Texas, they didn't win. Cold Spring, Texas said, no, hell no. We are a Christian town. This is what we do. This is what we want. this is what we're going to do, and you're not going to do anything about it. So they have got crosses in the courthouse and crosses other places, lighting them up at night, just throwing it in their face, flaunting the whole thing in the face of this group from Wisconsin, this Freedom From Religion group. And I love it. Now they've challenged these ridiculous things with different, like we said, different crosses and whatever on public property. Every level of government across the nation, when they see something like this happen, if somebody calls them, they jump in their little Prius and run to wherever and say, well, you can't do this. So this outfit, this organization sent a letter to a judge there claiming to represent a resident concerned about four white crosses in the San Jacinto County Courthouse. A resident. We're representing a, that's singular. That's not plural. That's one person. A resident concerned about four white crosses. These crosses unabashedly create the perception of government endorsement of Christianity, making non-Christian and non-believing residents of Cold Spring political outsiders. Political outsiders. I thought this was religious. Why are we political outsiders? Why are they political outsiders now? It's also argued that it constitutes a blatant violation of the Establishment Clause, which states that Congress shall make no law respecting blah, 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 the establishment of religion. And a whole bunch of the residents here have dismissed these claims in comments to the courthouse or to the, I forgot what you call it. Anyway, you have the right to honor the cross and you have the right not to honor the cross. That cross isn't hurting anybody. It's to benefit those who believe. This lady predicted the complaint would not go over very well here. It's a Christian community. They said that the county commissioner's court voted unanimously, I love it, unanimously to keep the crosses up after a three-hour public comment period attended by more than 600 people in a town of a population less than 900. So at least two-thirds of the town showed up. And in addition, the town has started to illuminate those crosses. They didn't do it before. When it was dark. You couldn't see the crosses. Well, now when it's dark, the crosses are lit up, showing everybody. That's awesome. The purpose behind the Establishment Clause was not to create a wall of separation between church and state. As the Sixth Court of Appeals once noted, this extra constitutional construct has grown tiresome, they said. The very same Congress, specifically the first Congress, that approved the language of the Establishment Clause also provided for the appointment of chaplains in the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. Now, remember that thing I played the other day? I'll play that again. I think I'll play it Monday. That may go along with some of the theme on Monday. Don't forget I'm doing a two-hour show Monday. I'm going to be taking Amy's spot. So we have a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of stuff. The most important thing in your preparedness goodies, goodie bag. And then on with the normal show. So the first hour or thereabouts will be pretty much all based on preparedness stuff. And some second hour or thereabouts, depends on how wound up I get. You never know what's going to happen. So if I get on a roll, we may wind up going deep into the second hour on this topic that I'm going to talk on here. So we'll find out. We'll see. But don't forget to join me for that. And if you do forget to join me, well, I guess that's okay too, because it'll be on the podcast right away quick. As soon as I get done Monday night, it will be online. For those of you that are looking to find that online, you can go to TSB, Tango Sierra Bravo, .podbean.com and listen to Father's oodles and gobs of podcasts on there. You can go way back, way, way back and listen to lots of podcasts on there. You can even, Podbean even has an app that you can put on your phone and you can go on this. The only bad thing about that app is it's a little bit hard to find the names. You can go and look at the dates of these podcasts. So if you know the date, fine. But you can go and listen to them on this app. Or you can, listen to the stuff live on TuneIn or Xia, X-I-A-A. I think I like TuneIn a little bit better. A lot of people use TuneIn to listen to the show. And the other thing you can do, which has nothing to do with the podcast, but I do put up new entries on my blog from time to time, and that is SWSAblog.com, SWSAblog.com. Okay, well, had all the fun I can stand. I've just about used up my time here, so I'm going to get out of here. And it's yet to be seen what's going to happen Friday. Again, I'm going to make an effort to do a live show, but I may and I may not, but I'm going to try. I will let you know via Facebook and the chat room whether I'm going to make it or not. And I will let you know no later than sometime early Friday afternoon. So with all that being said, I'm going to tell you hasta la bye-bye, and I'll see you hopefully Friday. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
Reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.